Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Our legal expert, attorney Paul Cambria, is joining us live this morning, and we want to talk about challenges to state mandates. Paul, first, what is the latest with the restaurant curfew challenge that you've been working on? I think that was scheduled to be in court today.
Well, that's true, Susan. This morning at 10 o'clock, I, along with the Hogan & Willig firm, are going before Justice Walker, asking that the restaurant curfew be lifted. This is the so-called preliminary injunction stage of our lawsuit.
And where do you see this going from here? We've seen now this kind of being struck down, upheld again, the state itself pushing it back an hour. I mean, could many changes happen before a final ruling or decision is made, whenever that is?
Yeah, I think that we have, you know, a substantial basis to ask the judge to once again vacate them. And at this stage of preliminary injunction, a single judge from the appellate division could not reverse that. It would have to go to the full court with full briefing and the rest of it. So we're at a much different stage than we were when the original one that we obtained was vacated.
Is the legal landscape changing, kind of the momentum, maybe swinging more in the favor of venues and operators rather than the state?
Yeah, I think so. Last week, we were able to get the get a judge in the Supreme Court to recognize that Cuomo's powers on directives are only good for 30 days without renewed authority from the legislature. And as you said at the top of this, you know, the legislature is meeting. Whether they're going to address that or not, we will see. Some of those in the legislature have indicated that that's a hot topic and they're going to reach it. I hope they do. There needs to be some oversight, whether it be a committee of legislators and the governor's office or what have you, but something other than what we've had, which is very arbitrary.
On those guidelines, there was another lawsuit that was in court with Robbie De Niro's Athletes Unleashed gym in Orchard Park. And the ruling in that was that he did not have to follow any of these executive orders that were over 30 days old. The judge saying that after 30 days, these expired unless they were given another green light by the legislature, I believe. A couple of questions on that. I guess one, why do these rulings not apply to, you know, everybody across Western New York and only seem to have been applied to the people who are filing these lawsuits? And two, that being the case, should other businesses now go and try and act and get a similar ruling?
Well, that was my case. I argued that case and achieved that. And I think you had my associate Todd Aldinger on talking about it, who did a lot of the writing and research and so on. It depends case by case. Some judges apply it to the petitioners in the lawsuit and those similarly situated, and others restricted just to the people who brought the lawsuits. But frankly, you know, the basis for that decision applies to everyone. And we really should have rulings that simply say it applies to the petitioners and those equally situated. For example, the restaurant closing, it shouldn't just apply to the people who sued. It should apply to all restaurants. Some judges apply it only to the people who sue. Others apply it to those similarly situated.
Are you personally surprised that all of these recent rulings seem to only apply to the businesses involved in the suit, that judges haven't taken that step to expand it a little bit?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. A lot of judges take the conservative path in some of their rulings. And what happens is, even though it only applies to the people in a certain lawsuit, it sends a message out to the legislature and to the governor that there's a problem here and it needs to be addressed. And I think that that ruling that I got in Robbie's case, of the Jim case, sent a message to the legislature. I know a number of legislators contacted me, asked for the decision. I sent it to them and so on. So I think it'll have an effect eventually on everyone.
Paul, new wedding reception mandates came out this week. I'm wondering if you're familiar with those. And have you been contacted by any restaurants or venue operators to challenge them?
Yes, I have. They talked about 150 people maximum and the requirement of testing. And what's happened, a number of venues have contacted me because the cost of the testing basically nullifies any benefit that they could have gotten by having 150 people. I mean, it just costs way too much to do that. And a lot of people refuse to be tested. You know, there's a lot to it. The real question is there a scientific and a factual basis for requiring a test as opposed to following the distancing and masking and all the rest of it? And that's, you know, that's a hot topic. In the curfew situation, you know, we have so-called experts that the state is giving us, and they say, well, you know, the later the night, the more people drink. But the curfew applies to places even without liquor. So, I mean, it makes some, it just doesn't make sense as to what they're asking for and what they're saying. So that's what we have to look at.
For that testing guideline, I mean, do you expect the argument, if that is challenged, to be along the lines of, if you are in a bar or restaurant or basically any other business, employees do not have to be tested, whereas employees would have to be tested for a wedding or catered event?
Yeah, well, it's not just the employees. It's the patrons. And that's the real problem, and that's the, you know, the cost. But again, the question is, can the issue be addressed with masking, distancing, sanitization, the things that we've been using in restaurants all along? That's going to be one of the questions.
You know, the other thing, too, is that these venues are being asked to play police when it comes to enforcing the testing, making sure that everybody has a negative test, and enforcing dancing regulations, too.
Yeah, it's true. And there is a degree of that already. I know at our restaurant that we don't let people in unless they have masks on. We don't let them walk around without their masks. You know, certain rules are substantiated and they're followed, and we make sure they're followed. It's just part of the responsibility. And the question really, though, boils down to, are the rules sound or are they arbitrary? And that's where we are.
Before we let you go, these sexual harassment allegations against the governor, how do you expect them to be handled? How should they be investigated? As you know, a lot of state agencies might have a direct conflict of interest. What are you expecting here?
Well, I think that, you know, most everyone would agree that some form of objective tribunal or individual should be making the determination. The unfortunate part about allegations like this in the political arena is that the political enemies, if you will beat these things to death. And now you have to ask yourself whether they're getting distorted on one side or the other. it's difficult, but you need to have some kind of objective review, and that's the tough part.
Is this the type of case where the state attorney general could appoint a special independent prosecutor?
Yeah, for sure. That could definitely be the situation. And then, you know, the question is this really an independent person, et cetera? You know, that's always the question.
Paul, as always, thanks so much for the time. That's Paul Cambria, expert attorney, our legal analyst, joining us live on WBEN.